that we're going to start on top of Ayin Gimel Daled Aleph. We had just done with the sugya with the Rav Huna, had a statement in our Gemara here that Gito Kimatanato, that the get has the same status as a matana. What does that mean, that the get has the same status as a matana? We saw the comparison for two issues. One is that if someone gives a get at the time that they're on their deathbed, as it's also when someone gifts when they're on their deathbed, if they later get better, then we automatically assume that the gift is retracted. And according to Rashi, we assume that the get is also invalid. But in Rabbeinu Tam, we saw that unless you explicitly stated it, it would not be retracted. The other comparison was that if by a get you say simply kidvu, then we assume kidvu tznu, that you mean write it and give it. And by matana, when we say tznu, we mean tznu pnu, meaning that you give it and make a kinyan on it. So that those are the two things that we're going to compare, that we gave a comparison to. So we're starting here, 2, 4, 5, 6 lines down on Ayin Gimel Aleph. Rabba v'Rabba lo sfir lo had de Rav Huna. Rabba and Rabba did not agree with this position or this member of Rav Huna. Why? Because they've observed, people would think that you're able to give a get la'achar mito, because this get only goes affected. The way Rav Huna has it, if this person gets better, right, then it's not a good get. It's an invalid get. It's a retracted get. So the only way the get will be effective is if this person dies when he's on his deathbed. So what does it look like? It looks like the fact that your get is happening because you're dying. Right. So because of that, Marasayan, that it looks like you're giving a get lachamiso, they said we don't want this member of Rav Huna, we don't hold like this. So Mar says, well, what are they going to do? Well, mi'ika mi'demidoraisa lo habigita, right? If this person gets off his deathbed, right, minatorah, this is not a valid get, because we assume an implicit t'nai in his get that he only gave it because he's going to die, and when he gets up, right, he didn't intend to give the get, and therefore it's not a valid get. And again, according to Rabbeinu Tam, he explicitly said that. So umisum gzeira sharina neishit ishli alma, because of this gzeira, because of this worry of Rabba and Rabba, we're going to allow a woman to be mutar muteret, right? I mean, not married anymore, even though technically, right, she is still married minatorah. In so this is a principle we've seen numerous times in the Gemara called the mekadesh adaita de rabbonon mekadesh. Whoever gets married is married based on, right, the words of the rabbonon. And when we say that, that's when we say Kedat Moshe of Israel, when a person gets married, and the Rabbanan use their power to undermine or to reverse the Kedushin that was established. I mean, Lamafreya, we see there was no Kedushin, therefore she does not require a get. So Amalei Rabbeinu Ravashi, Tinach Tekadosh B'Kaspol, the question I ask every time, that works well when we're talking about marriage through monetary means. Someone who's Mekadosh B'Kaspol with money. Kadosh B'Via, Ma'ika the Meimar, what are you going to do with someone who's Mekadosh Derech B'Via, right? There are three ways to create Kiddushin. There's Shtar, Bia, and Kesef. So again, in the other items, the Chachamim have a power because of Hefker based in Hefker to impact on the Kiddushin. But when it comes to Kiddushin, to Bia, how can the Chachamim impact on it? So the Gemara says, Amar lo, Shavu Rabbanan le Bilato, Bilat Znus. They made his, or they equated his Bi'ula to a Bilat Znus, and therefore his Bia that he did the same Kiddushin was not valid, it was not a valid Kiddushin, and they undermined again the Kiddushin Mi'ikara. The Mafreya, the Kiddushin are undermined. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, as we spent in other times, we spent time on this, but it's an important principle, this principle of the Gemara, that the Rabbanan have the ability to undermine the Kiddushin. Tanur Rabbanan. Zekiteich mehayom imeti micholi zeh. Then he says that this is my get from today, if I die from this sickness, v'nachala bayit alav, and then the house falls on him. Or yikisho nachash, or he's stung, or he's bitten by a snake. Ain't no get. That is not a valid get. Imlo amod mikolizeh. If he says, on the other hand, if I do not get up from this sickness, meaning I never get better, nechalav abayit, oyikosho anachash, and then he was bitten by a snake, or he said, get. That is a valid get. So let me just, Pashim Shad, if I was reading this brisa, right, I would explain this brisa based on the positive and negative formulation. In one, the first formulation, right, in the ratio of this brisa, he says, this sickness caused my death, right, then this will be a valid get. And then something else, another variable, and Zion's variable affects him, he's killed by a house or a nachash, so he didn't die from this sickness. Right, so that, I would say, is not a valid get. On the other hand, his other statement was a negative statement, which is, if I do not get better from the sickness, then this is a valid get. Now, because the house fell on him, or because he's bitten by a snake, that statement is true. He never got better from this sickness. What caused him not to get better is because he was no longer allowed to get better. Right? So that's the simple way to differentiate, and that would be a valid get. Yerushalmi learns this Gemara like that. So this Yerushalmi learns this Braisa in that manner, distinguishing between a positive statement about the Choli being the cause versus a negative statement which says, I will not get better. That's the easy way to learn. Our Gemara disagrees. All right, and you're going to see our Gemara is going to try to deal with this. Maishna Reisha or Maishna Seifa. What's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa? What I told you, that simple explanation, how I would have read it myself, is that the way the Yerushalmi learns the Gemara. Shalchu mitam, achlo arei enlanu. If he's eaten by an ari, which is what? That's an ones. Enlanu. That when there is ones, right, we don't, we'll see in a second what this is, that there is no get. I mean, it's not about get, because it's an unsa lo shkiach. It's an onis that's not common, and since it's an onis not common, a person would never consider such a thing when he makes a statement, and therefore onis lo shkiach is not a valid get. That's what the Gemara says. How gavra? So in the case, how gavra the zavin ar lechabre? He sold a land to his friend. Kabi alei kol unsa demityali. He accepted on himself, right, any ones that would come about. Lesof afiku ba nahara. In the end, it's like the equivalent of three gorges dam. The government redirected the river right over his property, meaning that they dammed the river and they sent the river over his property. So atal kamei deravinos. Now they want to know. He took responsibility. He took achrayus. He had recourse to the seller for any ones. So this is an ones. So should he get his money back? So they went to Ravina Amalei, Zil Shafilei, he goes, go pay him back. Go clear up the property. You guaranteed to him any ones, anything that would happen, you guaranteed to him, and you got to replace the property for him. So Amalei Rav Acha bar Tachlifa the Rabino, Unsud Loshkiyahu. Right, that's an ones. Wait, when he accepted on himself responsibility or recourse when it comes to ones, that's only ones below Shkiyah. That's not common. But, onis that is common, right? But onis loshiach, when it comes to something that would not even have come upon his mind, nobody would have ever thought that such a thing could happen, that's not the type of responsibility a person takes upon themselves. So, galgal milso mati lekame derava, it rolled and ended up in front of Rava, but basically the halacha moved around and it ended up that the psak halacha came before Rava. Amalahu, unsud loshiach, he agreed with the position of Rav Acha bar Tachlifa, but this is an instance of unsud lo shkiach, which means it's an uncommon ones. It's an uncommon ones. That's not something that the person really took responsibility for or recourse for. So now, Eitve Ravina the Rava, right? Ravina asked Rava, our case over here, this brisa. Im lo amod mecholi zev and apalavav abayit. It says if I don't get up from this choli and then the house falls on him, oh, he keeps showing that question. He's bitten by a snake. How is that get? That is a valid get. So here you have an ones lo shkiach, and yet we still say it is a valid get. So why? That's against Rava's position. Even when there's an onis lo shkiach, right? Rava says no good, and here we have a brisa saying it is good. So I'm like, Rava says to him, now this is selective disclosure. Why? Because you only quoted half the brisa. You only quoted the second half of the brisa. Deima Marisha. What about the first half of the brisa that says ain't no get? That it's not a get. Before you bring up questions to me from the second half of the brisa, bring a proof to me from the first half of the brisa, which says it's not a get. Similarly, Rav Acha midipti the Ravino mishum the kasha reisha seifa lo mazvinin tiuftamine. Just because there's a stira between the reisha and the seifa of this brisa, there's an inconsistency between the reisha and seifa, we don't ask questions from it. Amalayin, he says yes. Kaven the kasha reisha seifa lo itzmar be medrisha. That if the reisha and the seifa don't make sense, the beginning of this brisa and the second half of this brisa seem to give opposing dinim, and we're unable to reconcile them. Therefore, we assume it was not, right, brought in the base medrash, and we should best to heed. Right, it's an incorrect brisa. It's not a valid brisa. So therefore, zil batar svara. If that's the case, we don't have any brisa or we don't have any support, what do? You zil batar svara. You go after the logical conclusion. What's the logic over here? The logic is that when a person accepts responsibility, when a person makes a tznai, he only incorporates in that responsibility tznai unsa d'shfiach, things that normally occur. Things that are extraordinary are not included in their tznai and are not included in the recourse that they accept. Papa Ravuna Breda Rakshua Zavin Shum Shume Agida Nara Malka. They were buying sesame on the banks of the Nara Malka. Agor Milke Lo Brinu. Part of the deal was that the sellers of the sesame would hire sailors to take the sesame back to their houses. Then what happens? The sailors accepted on themselves, or the sellers actually here, not the sailors, the sellers accepted upon themselves all responsibility to get the food, the sesame, delivered to the buyers. Who are, who is the buyers? Ravuna and Rav Yeshua. Ravuna and Rav Yeshua and Rav Papa, I'm sorry. The soap, Istakir Nar Malka. In the end, the river was dammed or dried up. So now these people, these sellers who had intended to get the sesame to them and they hired sailors can't get the sesame there. So Amar Lahu, Rav Papa and Ravuna Breda Rishua say to the sellers, Aguru Kamre, Afkino Nialan, go ahead and hire your donkeys and get it to us. You guys are responsible. You took on yourselves responsibility for any illness that would transpire. And guess what? Where is it? It's not here. You guys got to get it here. So you said you would be responsible for any onus that transpires. So they brought the din before Rabba. Amar lahu kake yure means white geese. That's a reference to Talmidei Chachamim, right? Or older Talmidei Chachamim in general. So he says, Kakakiyuri, Rav is addressing Rav Papa and Rav Hunabre to Yeshua, Mishalke Glimi Dinshe. You're basically, you're light with other people's money. You don't worry about taking other people's coats. Why? Because they passed against the Lachah. Your case here is an onis, an unexpected, extraordinary type of onis where the river dries up. That was not expected. And so when the sellers took responsibility to get into your house, no matter what, they meant no matter what normal circumstances. This is an extraordinary circumstance. That's not the type of responsibility they accepted upon themselves. If that's the case, right, then they don't have to hire donkeys to get it to you. They did the best they could within the given normal circumstances. Something extraordinary happened. We're not going to blame them for not getting it there. And therefore, you are poskening to benefit your own pocket, right, by saying that they have to get it to you no matter what. Right, that's not the case. So the Pasan Alokha, like Rabbah, which says, Unshadlo Shkiyah, right, who? It's an onis that is not Shkiyah. That's also over here discusses the point that we have in the Gemara in Gittin, right, that by Gittin, we say that ain onis for Gittin. There's no such thing as onis bagitin. In our Gemara, it seems to be over here that onis bagitin, there is such a thing as onis bagitin. Right? Because if you have an unsa tloshkiach, right, that onis qualifies, right, to be a determining by the tnai above, that's enough to stop the get. Right? It's enough, onis tloshkiach is enough to say that it's not included in my original statement, original tnai. Yet the Gemara in the beginning, Suba says, ain onis bagitin. Doesn't matter what happens, too bad. You know, you made a tnai and you can fulfill it. There is no, you can't bring up the ones in Gittin. So Tosfos goes, a classic Tosfos, and says there are three types of ones. Right? There's three types of ones. There's ones, the shkiyah. Right? That's ones that's normal. There's ones, the low shkiyah. That's our Gemara over here. Ones low shkiyah is extraordinary, something that does not come upon one's mind, is totally outside of the realm of what a person would think about. Ones the shkiyah is something that people would normally consider in their statements. There's an in-between status, in-between state, which is an ones that's Lo shkiyach v'shkiyach, that has as middle ground. If that's what he says, by Tosfos differentiates. Everybody agrees by ones, right, the shkiyach, that's included in your tzad. Everybody agrees by ones, the lo shkiyach, which is totally extraordinary, like our Gemara over here, that everybody agrees does apply. There is such thing as ones in those cases. When is there, say, ones v'gitin, and when do we say we apply? That's why this ones of shkiyach v'lo shkiyach, it's a little in-between type of ones. And then in between ones, we say that there is an ones begitin, and that's what the Gemara is referring to in Ksubos, in order to differentiate from our Gemara over here, which is ones the lo shkiyach. Right? So it's just interesting Tosfos that it makes such a distinction, these three levels of ones.
So it's the lo shkiyach for a river consider drying out
where
the dam
is up, and
in case of the dam,
right, it's not the river, which makes sense. Yeah, the fact that a river will totally dry up, which is our case here, is lo shkiyach. And there with the river, right, when the river overflows, that's a natural, pretty common occurrence that a river would overflow.
He missed the boat.
Either he missed the boat or the river was too high and the bridge was run over. Whatever it is, that is a more common occurrence. Even though it's not shkiyach, it's just not lo shkiyach. It's not close to lo shkiyach. That's what Tosfos says exactly. Very good. All right, so now next mission. Lo titiyach hedimo, elo bifnei edim. So in our case over here, when he gives such a get, which says the get only becomes effective in making me holy zeh, that if I die from this holy, right, then he cannot be miyached with his wife, ella b'shnei edim, except with edim, but what is edim? Apil api eved, apil api shifcha. You can do it in front of an eved, a shifcha, any type of witness who would dissuade them, when they wouldn't have yichud anymore, but it would dissuade them from being miyached. That is sufficient. Chutz mi shifchata, right? Except for her own maidservant, we know this from the Gemara Sota, mipnei shaliva gaspa b'shifchata, right? Because she has domination over her shifcha, she doesn't worry about what her shifcha thinks, and therefore that would not be a dissuasion from her having yichud or being together with her husband. So now the question is, mahi ba'otana yamin? What's her status during this period of time that she has to get, but the get's not yet effective? What is her status in that period of time? Now, Tosfos learns that this is a continuation of the first part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says he can't be miyached with her. What is the continuation? Rashi learns this is a totally independent part of the Mishnah. We'll see in a second. I'm trying to understand it better. I'm pointing it out now. What is she during that time? She's a married woman, equivalent of a fully married woman. But Rabbi Yossi Omer, Migureshet Ben Migureshet, she's a Safei, right, Eshet Ish. So the way Rashi learns the Mishnah, or the first half of the Mishnah, which says, those people believe, because Mihayom, whenever you say Mihayom Imeti, it means when the person dies, the get is effective retroactively Mihayom, from the day that he gave the get. And therefore, they can't have Yichud, right? In that case, if she gets divorced, right, it would be the divorce is back retroactive to that time. The second half of the Mishnah is a different case over here, we're going to see in a second, that doesn't use Mihayom, right? In that case, what's her status? That's the next case in the Gemara. We're going to see in a second. Right? In that case, what's the status of the woman? Is she like an Eshadish or a Suffolk Eshadish? But according to the first half of the Mishnah, it's clear, right, that she, if when he died, she would not have been married at that point in time. And that's the way Rashi learns the Mishnah. Right? Tan Rabbanan. Ra'uash nityachta imo be'afela. They saw that she was isolated with him. She had yichud with him in the darkness. Oshiyishta imo yash. Yashna imo takat margalot amidah. She slept at the foot of his bed. We are not choshesh that they had, right, they cohabitated. But choshesheim mishum znus. But yet we're still choshesh from znus. But we don't worry about kiddushin. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af choshesheim mishum kiddushin. And we even worry about kiddushin. Right, this price is unclear. It's totally unclear what's going on here. What does it mean? Choshesheim l'znus, ein choshesheim l'kiddushin, all this. Why says my kamar? What does this price mean? So that's the first thing over here. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Abba, Huachi Kamar. So we have three explanations how to read this price. So the first explanation is that of Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Abba, Huachi Kamar. Ra'ua shenib Allah. They saw that they had intercourse and cohabitated. Choshishim ishum kiddushin. And we assume that cohabitation, we don't assume that a person, when a person does biato, in biato biatinos, and therefore if he cohabitated with her, the assumption is he did the same kiddushin, and they're married again. And that, what does that mean? The napkin means that they need a new get. The original get he gave would be invalid. Not lot safim. If after they cohabitated, he hands her money, then we assume that what? That the bia that he had was a bia znus and not kiddushin. Why? The marina bit, no, not in love. Why is he handing her money after they cohabitated unless he's paying her for her services? Paying her for her services, then it was not the same kiddushin. And therefore, they are not married, but we're choshesh l'shum znus. Rashi points over here that it's lav dafka znus, because number one, she's already a divorcee, so she's psula the kahuna already, right? Because he gave her a get. So he does a rach get, she's psula the kahuna. Number two is she's cohabitating with either her husband or possibly she's a pnuya and he's a panui, and therefore she's a single woman, right? Cohabitating with a single man, which does not make her a zonah, because you need a psula the kahuna to make her a zonah. So Rashi says it's a borrowed term over here. I mean, so this means that they cohabitating as opposed to kiddushin, this is znus. Okay. We don't worry about kedushin. Even in this instance, we worry about kedushin because we assume that they cohabitated the same kedushin, and the money that was given afterwards was a gift, was a present. Now, Kaman Azla, Hada Amar Rabba Barbachana. No, okay. The original case is if he's boel her without money, everybody agrees there's kiddushin. If he also gives money afterwards, it's machlokes between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi whether there's valid kedushin here or not.
Right. So the day of Rosh Hashanah kedushin is just in the case where
money changed hands. Correct. That is correct.
Well, the kedushin be allowed to make it.
No, you could keep her. Hoshishi means that we worry about that the original get's not valid now anymore, and that we can use a second get to divorce her. So if he dies now, she will have a problem of yibum. You'll have to perform chalitza. That's what means hoshishi. That we were worried that the original get's now not valid, and then. We're going to see in a second. We'll deal with what her status is in these places. But technically, if they're married, then she could eat truma if they're married again, right? But you have to be building if they really got married in that kiddushin. But hoshishi is the kiddushin is that we can't verify. Then we assume that they got married, and now if he dies, you have to perform chalitza, or you'll need a new get. The original get will be invalid. Right. According to whom goes the statement of Rabbi Yochanan Amar Rabbi Yochanan? Machlokes kishiraua shenivala. Machlokes is when they saw her cohabiting. But if they did not see her cohabiting, give her a full answer to how you meant a get. Everybody agrees he does not need another get. According to the way Rabbi Nachman Amar Rabbi Yochanan is learning this brisa, everybody agrees they have to see them cohabitating in order to have a chashash kedushin. Right? But if you don't see her having cohabitating, you're not kosher to the kedushin at all. Now, Matki Klei Abaye might ask a question on this explanation of Rabbi Nachman Amar Rabbi Avua. Says Midik Sufim Tani. Where in the brisa that you're explaining do you see the word money? Right? The word money never appears. If the word money never appears, how could you make your explanation premise that the machlokas is about money? Ella Amar Abaye. So now Abaye offers a second alternative, a second option to explain the brisa. This is what the brisa means. They saw that they were cohabitating. We worry about znos and not kiddushin. So cohabitation is not enough. Even in the case where they cohabitate, that is choshish mishum kiddushin. So basically, everybody would agree, but if they were not cohabitating, if you never saw them literally cohabitating, there's no kiddushin here. If we see them cohabitating, that's the machlokes between the Tanakh Alma and Rabbi Yossi, whether that is considered kiddushin or not kiddushin. So, Kaman as Wahadam Rabbi Barchanam Rabbi Yochanan. Now, according to whom does this statement of Rabbi Barchanam Rabbi Yochanan go like? Machlokes Shuruwa Shinivala. Machlokes between Beis Elam Bechamai, said later Gemara, is when they saw them having intercourse of a Loro Shinivala, they didn't see her cohabitating, then they don't meet her again. Shani, come on, to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. This goes only according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because according to the Tanakhama, even if you see them having intercourse, they are not married. They do not require a second get. It's only according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, when you see them cohabitating, do you require a second get? We do assume it's the shame kiddushin. So Abai's explanation is that their machlokes rests on an instance where you see them cohabitating. If you don't see them cohabitating, everybody agrees that's not a valid kiddushin. See them cohabitating, that's my focus. Tanakhama says, not kiddushin. Rabbi Yossi says, yes, kiddushin. And then when you ask about Rabbi Barchanan, Rabbi Yochanan, right, in that instance where we say the machlokes Bezel Beshamai later on, again, not important to our sugya, is about a case where they saw them cohabitating. That must be going according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who says that when they cohabitate, there's a chash of kiddushin. So Matki Klei Rabbi challenges the explanation of Abaye, in Genkein, my af. Right, because Rabbi Yossi's statement says, not kan choshishim mishum kiddushin. Even here, we're choshishim mishum kiddushin. The way Abaye explained it, the Tanakhama never has a case where we're choshishim kiddushin. So how could Rabbi Yossi come along and say, even in this instance, we're choshishim kiddushin? What's that even going on? The Tanakhama never has a case where we're choshishim kiddushin. How could Rabbi Yossi come along and say, even in this case, we're choshishim kiddushin? He said, we're choshishim kiddushin. He shouldn't say, So that doesn't explain the brisa well. Elo Amar Rava. Rava gives us the third alternative to explaining this brisa. Hachi Kama. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af lo ra'ua shenivala, choshishim mishum kiddushin. No, the other way around. That Rabbi Yossi says, even when they did not see her, nivala, choshishim mishum kiddushin. So we explain this like this. This Gemara now, according to the way Rabba is learning the Gemara, it's going to be this way. The Tanakhama is going to believe, whether you see them or don't see them cohabitating, right, then we're not koshesh l'shom, right, kiddushin. Whereas if we see them cohabitating, or we don't see them cohabitating, Rabbi Yosef is going to say it is Kiddushin. Right? So it's going to be extreme with it. So, man has lahad amar rabba barchana. Am Rabbi Yochum maklokes kishra'u ashnivala. Maklokes is when they see them having bia. Of a low rush, nivala, but if they didn't see them having bia, they got called in a tree claim and get. To man, kibok chad. This goes like neither opinion according to Rabba. Why? Because according to Rabba, Rabbi Yosef believes whether you see them cohabitating, whether you don't see them cohabitating, it is closer to the Kiddushin. According to the Tanakhama, whether you don't see them or do see them, there is no Kiddushin, right? So nobody holds the opinion that only when you see them is it a good Kiddushin, right? Either the Tanakhama believes it's never a good Kiddushin, and Rabbi Yosef believes that it is always a closer to the Kiddushin. So you have extreme opinions. In that case, this statement of Rabbi Barchan of Rabbi Yochanan will go like neither opinion over here, because nobody believes that it's only when you see them cohabitating, right, is there a din of bia. Okay, so that's the three. Again, we had a brisa that was unclear, and we had three explanations of the brisa. We have an Nachman of Ravua, who explained the brisa, the differential between seeing them cohabitating versus seeing them cohabitating and paying money. We had a bais explanation that simply said that the issue or the machlokas is about when they did see them cohabitate. And Rava says that the machlokas, right, extends to totally. I mean, that even Rabbi Yossi agrees when he sees them and doesn't see them, that in all these instances it is considered Choshesh the Kiddushin, and the Tanakhama believes it is, we are never Choshesh the Kiddushin in these instances over here. Right now, the next Gemara. Mahi Ba'otan HaYamin. So this is the second half of the Mishnah. Mahi Ba'otan HaYamin. What is her status in these days? Again, Rabbi, that the Rashi learns this is an independent statement in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yudom Erke Eshet Ishtachol Vareh, she's a fully married woman. Wait, we have a verse that says that he has to die. And only if he dies is it a valid get. Well, if that's the case, he might have a gita. Right? Then only if he dies, if that means it's only a valid get after he dies, that means we have what? A get for a karmisa. I kind of want to get la karmisa. So what's the case over here? Amaraba Baomer Meishani Baolam. This get will be valid from the last moment I am in this world. Right, so now for Rashi, that's the distinction between the first half of the Mishnah and the second half of the Mishnah. The first half of the Mishnah, he says, Mihayom ubi akar misa. He says, from today and after Misa, this is a valid get, right? Mihayom ubi akar misa, Mihayom imaiti. From today, if I die. Therefore, if he dies, when is the get valid? According to Rashi, in the first half of the Mishnah, retroactively from the moment he gave the get, because he said Mihayom, from today. The second half of the Mishnah is addressing a totally different issue, and that's a case where he says, what? A moment before I die, this get will be effective. Right, so a moment where I die, this girl will be effective. What's the status of this woman? So what does Rabbi Yehuda say? She's an Eshet Ish to the moment before he dies, because she's totally validly his wife until the last minute, right? And therefore, she's an Eshet Ish to hold her up. Rabbi Yossi says, no, she's Migreshet Ve'enu Gereshet. We're going to see in a second why, but basically, Rashi learns it's because Rabbi Yossi doesn't have hold of Breira. Ain't Breira. So every moment could be this guy's last moment in the world. Since every moment can be the last moment, every moment is a suffix whether she's still married to him. Okay, once we're past that moment, we know for sure that that wasn't the moment. But that's using what? Breira. If you're using Breira, then if you don't hold the Breira, then that moment remains a status of suffix. And that's what Rabbi Yossi says. Megreshet, Manu Gresheth, she remains in that status of suffix. So far, that's the way we're learning the Gemara. This is the Gemara according to Rashi. Now, Tanu Rabbanan. Yamim Shebin Tayim, so okay, fine, all we dressed above in the Mishnah was, what's her status for Gabi Znus? If someone has Mizane with her, is she an Eshet Ish, and he's going to die, or he's going to bring a Chatas, or is she Megresh Ben Megresh, it's a Suffolk Eshet Ish, if he's Mizane her. What about all the regular Dinim of wife? Does he have to give her Mizonos? You know, he's Zakai Ben Mitziyata, what's her status for Gabi living, day-to-day living? So that's what the Gemara's going to deal with now. Come on, Yamim Shebin Tayim, Kala Zakai Ben Mitziyata, Uvmasei Hadeha. Right, that in the interim days, then the husband acts like a full husband. He gets to keep her mitzia, right? He gets to keep her output, ubefarat nedareah, he can be made for nedareah and viorsha, and he inherits her, umitami lef, he's a kohen, he's mitami for her, right? Kolo shodavar, the general principle is there, hayhi ishto b'chol davar. She is a complete wife, el shein etzricha mimenu get sheni, that she just doesn't need another get. When he dies, that get will go valid that moment before, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So this is Rabbi Yehuda bar Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda bar Mishnah says what? Our mission says that she's a total wife to him until that moment before she dies. Now, Rabbi Meir, Bilata Tluya. Her Biya is Tluya. What does that mean, Tluya? We'll see. I'll explain in a second. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Bilata Safek. Rabbi Yossi says it's a Safek. Chamim Omer, Migureshet Ve'inu Migureshet. And she's Migureshet and Einu Migureshet. Ububad Shimot. In all of these cases, everybody believes he has to die. If he doesn't die, right, I mean, if he doesn't die, then she's never divorced. Because the condition of the get is that he must die. In order for the get to go valid, he must die. Without the death, everybody agrees here we have a suffix. Because
that's not before she
says. Right. He has to precede her, otherwise the get will never go valid. Now, the Gemara is going to ask, Ma'ika ben Rabbi Meir, the Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Meir says that it's a suffix, Bilatat Kliya, and Rabbi Yossi says Bilatat Safek. What's the difference between Bilatat Kliya and Bilatat Safek? So, Rabbi Yochan, Ashim Talui, Ike ben Ayu. Whether she brings an Ashim Talui is a differential between them. The Rabbi Meir, or low mighty Ashim Talui, according to Rabbi Meir, she does not bring an Ashim Talui, the Rabbi Yossi mighty. According to Rabbi Yossi, you do bring an Ashim Talui. So what's the difference? Because Rabbi Meir believes that we wait until he dies. If he dies from this sickness, if he dies from this problem, then this is a valid get, according to Rabbi Meir, retroactively. This is a get, right, from the moment. Equally milso that she was a grusha at the time of the bia, and therefore, the person who has nizane with her, right, is not a znus, so therefore he does not have to bring, right, he does not have to bring any korban. Whereas if he dies, if he never dies, the husband never dies, he'll have to bring a chatas, because there was no get. So the husband does not precede the wife according to Rabbi Meir, then she's a full-fledged wife, and he will have to bring a chatas. The one who's mezanin with her b'shogeg will have to bring a chatas. If he does die, the husband, then according to Rabbi Meir, the get becomes valid retroactively from the time he gave the get, and therefore he won't bring anything. He brings no korban. According to Rabbi Yossi, no, we have a safek. When a person says that from the moment before I die, right, that this get is a valid get, right, then Rabbi Yossi has a safek. Is this get a valid get, meaning, is it a valid get from the moment he gave it, or is it only a valid get a moment before he dies? So now we have what's called a safek. So you have a safek. When you have a safek shogeg, what do you bring? You bring an asham talui. So you bring an asham talui. Of course, this is not, Rabbi Yossi is not according to the opinion who requires that you have two chatikot in front of you. One of Yisur, one of Heter, to bring an asham talui. Here, Rabbi Yossi, you have a single person, this woman, who is a suffix, and nevertheless, you're going to bring an Asham Talui. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yossi's opinion, is you bring an Asham Talui. Rabbi Meir's opinion is you bring nothing. And both of them agree that, what if he doesn't die, the husband, you bring a chakos, because she never was divorced in that instance. Now, what about the Chachamim? What's the difference between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim? Hakamim chamim migureshet ve'enu gureshet. Hakamim haynu Rabbi Yossi. Hakamim is Rabbi Yossi. Ig ben ayu de Rabbi Zera. Then back to me, you know, Rabbi Zera. Dabar Rabbi Zera, I'm a Rabbi Rabbi Yeri, I'm a Shmuel. Koma kom shem ruch hakamim migureshet ve'enu gureshet. Bala chayim nizanotea. Whenever the term in the phrase or in a Tano uses the term migureshet ve'enu gureshet, we obligate the husband to provide nizanot for her. So the difference between Rabbi Yossi and Hakamim is whether the husband needs to provide nizanot over here. Hakamim specifically, they both agree that it's a safek. They both agree it's a safek. But Biosi on purpose did not use the term migureshet ve'enu gureshet, because he does not want to be mechayev the husband in his own oath in this case. Because the Chachamim believe migureshet ve'enu migureshet, that he is chayev in his own oath, and that's why they use the term migureshet ve'enu migureshet. It will turn out then that the Chachamim are Rabbi Yossi bar Mishnah. Rabbi Yosef Ramishna says migureshet ve'enu migureshet. So he's like the Chachamim in the Braisa. So you have straight Tanaim Aliba to Rabbi Yosef. One more Tana is when Rabbi Yosef says he says migureshet ve'enu migureshet like the Chachamim. And one Tana says like Rabbi Meir in our Braisa, which is Safek, and not like the Chachamim, that he will not be migureshet ve'enu migureshet. So again, now Tosos, I said, it disagrees on 2 points on Rashi's explanation of our Gemara. One point he disagrees with is that he says that the Mishnah, the Rabbeinu Tam says the Mishnah is one entity, right? And when you say Mehayom, it's the same suffix as saying whether the last moment before you die. When I say Mehayom, Elachamoti, or Mehayom, Elachamisa, Rashi said that's a different case. Everybody agrees that's retroactive gets. Only when I say a moment before my death, that's the case where we have all these stakos about what the status of the woman is. According to Rabbeinu Tam, they are equal. When a person says Me'ayom, the Gemara is saying Me'ayom means not from today, but that's a suffix. What does Me'ayom mean? Does Me'ayom mean the moment before death? Or does Me'ayom, according to Rabbi Meir, mean retroactive? According to Rabbi Yossi, it's coming to suffix. And that's the whole Makotus in the Gemara. It's explaining what does it mean Me'ayom? What's the status of Me'ayom? What's the explanation of the word Me'ayom? That's the Rabbeinu Tam learns this Gemara. Number two, they disagree with is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Rashi said the reason Rabbi Yossi says that it's a suffix is because of what? Because there's no break. Right? So Tosfos says it's not the case that even that is Breira, even according to Rabbi Yossi, he believes that there is such thing as Breira, because even with Breira, right, you still have a Safek, right, because at any given moment, right, even without Breira, when you're looking forward at the item, right, anytime the guy is Mizane, he's Mizane with a woman who's a Safek. Meaning that you can't, even though retroactively we identify that she's not the Safek in that moment, but when he was actually Mizane with her, she was a Safek. So you can't go back and then later say to him, you know, oh, you were Mizane with somebody who was a Bada Eishish, because she wasn't a Bada Eishish when he engaged with her. So that's what Tosfos says. Tosfos says that it's not an issue of Hubrar Davar about Breira. Even if you hold a Breira, it might be that when he's engaging with this woman, she still has a status of Safek. If she has a status of Safek, that's Rabbi Yossi's opinion, that's why you bring it up. Because at the moment that you engage in the chait, you're looking at a suffix. If you're looking at a suffix, you bring an ashram taloi and not a chatas. The last thing, an interesting point, we'll stop with this, is that Tosfos brings the minhag. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia that when the Yimbakos Beis Dovid, when they used to go out to war, they used to give a get before they left for war. Right? If they give a get, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, if they gave a get before they went to war, Rabbeinu Tam says, when you say Mehayom, Imeiti, from today it's effective if I die, that means only the moment before I die, it goes effective, the get, according to Rabbeinu Tam. Oh, now, what does that do for Dovid HaMelech? Gori Yachiti handed Batsheba a get, right? He's only divorced from her the moment before he dies. He dies in the battle way after Dovid engages with Batsheba. So how does that help him? So Tosfos comes over here and says that it must be when they gave a get, when they went out to war, they gave a get definitively. They didn't make any conditions in the get in order to prevent, and who knows, the problems of Aguna, the problems of other things that are involved here that you should not, right, be, you should not have any problems. The Tosfos reads the Gemara that way. Rashi, on the other hand, does not have to read it that way because he thinks Mi'ayom is different than a moment before Misa. The Tosfos says it's still a Davar Mechuar. According to Rashi, it's still not a nice thing here. David HaMelech is engaging with a woman who is, quote-unquote, a suffix. Whether if Uriah died the next minute, he would have been crying because Batsheba would have been not divorced yet, right? So going to Rashi, so because unless he dies, only retroactively is it a guess. Mi'ayom. So at the moment he engaged Batsheba was a suffix, whether she would really be not an Eishanish or not. So it's still not nice. But he has this, I have to give this answer for me and for Rashi, because I feel that in order to clear David totally, when you would say, David, Komer David Katayin El Toeh, it's because of this. He's not Toeh because they gave him full-fledged Gittin and it was totally divorced. Okay, we'll stop here.